The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So this is the last week of our series about vision, answering the question, once we've encountered God, how do we become holy? How do we live a holy life? How do we be disciples of Jesus Christ who joyfully live out the gospel? Like, practically, what does that look like? And so we've said that in order to do that, we have to be a community, first of all, that knows Christ, but then that brings people to Christ, where we are formed as disciples, not just to stay here, but to go out into the world and bring Him so that we can transform the world. And so far, we've talked about, in order to do that, we have to be people who worship God. We have to be people who serve others like Christ served us. We have to be people who are forming holy friendships to support one another on this journey. We have to continue to desire and to work to mature in our faith and to grow in our holiness, in our prayer life. And so today, the last of the series, we're talking about sharing one's gifts, which God has given us, and then proclaiming those, using those gifts to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's important for everyone here to know, without exception, that God has given you tremendous gifts to build up His kingdom. And you also need to know that you do not need to have a collar or some sort of advanced degree in theology or philosophy or religion to be disciples who know Him and bring Him to others. The following is a true story. There was a young man named Alfred. And one day he shows up at the door of the Holy Cross Brothers in Quebec, Canada. The Holy Cross Brothers are a teaching order of brothers and priests. And Alfred, at the age of 25 years old, was desperate to find his place in the world. He just could not seem to find the right place. And he had a lot going against him. By the world standards, he really didn't have much to offer at all, as far as talents, as gifts. He wasn't able to read and write by the time he was 25. He had these chronic stomach pains, this debilitating disease that if physician-assisted suicide is passed in our state, he might be one of those people who we simply allow to commit suicide. He was that sick. And because of his illness, because of his pains, he wasn't strong enough to do any sort of manual labor. So he's really kind of stuck. But he was this holy young man. He was this man who had fire in his heart and a love of God and a knowledge of God. And he had a special devotion to the saints. In particular, he loved Saint Joseph. And so with the help of a bishop who kind of stepped in to intercede for him, the brothers took him in. And eventually he was able to pronounce his final vows. And once he did, as is true in religious life a lot of times, you kind of die to yourself and you become an instrument of God's only. And then to symbolize that, you take on a new name. And so instead of Alfred, he took on the name Brother Andre. That became his religious name. But the order was still kind of like, well, what do we do with this guy? You know, he has no real discernible gifts that they could see. And so they said, all right, we're going to send him to this boys' school in Montreal, ages 7 to 12. Not as a punishment. But they sent him to that boys' school. And they said, look, you're to do four things. You're to do four things and four things only. You're to be the porter at the school. So when people come to the door, you're to let them in. And you're to welcome the guests. And you're, this is my favorite, you get to wake the boys up every morning. And you get to deliver the mail every day. That was it. That was all his life was to be. It was to answer the door, to welcome the guests, to wake the boys up, and to deliver mail. But you know, he did these things with great love. With great love. He always offered advice to people who needed it when they came to the door. He prayed with those who came to the door and needed prayers. He smiled at everyone who needed a smile. And sometimes people would come to the school, would come to his door, and they were especially sick. And Brother Andre would commend them, he would pray for them, and he would commend them to the care of his favorite saint, Saint Joseph. And you know that many were healed because of his prayers. Like instantly, they were healed. Now all of a sudden, he had a discernible talent. And the word got out about this healer, about this guy who was at this door that prayed for people and they got better. And so the sick started flocking to Brother Andre. Thousands would come to his door to be prayed over, just to have this guy even just like hold their hand and touch them. When he died at the age of 91, 1 million people came to pay their respects to this man who had no discernible talent, no discernible gifts by the world's standards. That's the power of one man who uses what he has to bring people to Christ. It's the power of one man who evangelized not by bringing attention to himself, but by living out what we heard in today's gospel, which are the Beatitudes. To bring people to Christ, to be evangelizers, we have to commit to only one thing, to living out the Beatitudes. Because people who live out the Beatitudes, as I told those kids when they were leaving, it's the code to heaven. It's the key to what it means to live a saintly life, taught by our Savior himself. When people live out the Beatitudes, you know what they are? They're authentic Catholics. They're authentic Christians. And you know what the world needs? It needs authentic Christians. It doesn't need people who preach a good game and don't live it. When you live the Beatitudes, you are living authentic Christian life. And that's what the world needs. So what does it mean? What does it look like if we were living an authentically Catholic life as Christ himself taught us? Well, it means that we have to be poor in spirit. And poor in spirit has nothing to do with our material needs or what we have or what we don't have. But it means we put God first. It means we put God first in our life, that we put more trust in him than we do in ourselves. It means that we're coming to Mass every Sunday without exception. That we're bringing our children to Mass every Sunday without exception. Religious ed does not count. You cannot bring people to Christ, to religious ed, to learn about God, but deny them receiving body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. We've got to be here worshiping God every single Sunday. One of the pains of my heart is that I know that the hundreds of kids who come to religious ed, the hundreds of kids who go into our school, and I don't see them here. To be authentic Catholics, we've got to put him first, which means we need to be here every Sunday worshiping him, saying, Lord, I can't do this on my own. The world's too crazy for me. I need your help. I need your very sustenance to sustain me so that I can fight the fight out there, so that I can be a holy mom, a holy dad, a holy husband, a holy grandmother, grandfather, uncle, priest, child. Blessed are the poor in spirit. These are the ones who put God first, not by words, but by being here and praying in the person. To be authentically Catholic means that we have to hunger and thirst for righteousness. What does that mean? It means that we're not okay with the status quo. We're not okay with the status quo. The status quo, we're oftentimes, we wouldn't accept in our jobs. We don't accept on the sports field. Why do we accept in a religion when it comes to our faith, to living authentic Catholic lives? We cannot be okay with the status quo. We can't be okay with what the world says about how we are to live our life. As people who are hungering and thirsting for heaven, we have to say, what does our Lord say? What does the Lord who came from heaven to earth to reveal himself to us, to show us the way to heaven, what does he say? What does he say? And then we, with every fiber in our being, we're trying to conform our life to his. We're trying to live out the teachings which have been faithfully handed on from Christ to the church and passed on in every generation for 2,017 years. We got a hunger and thirst for righteousness and can't be satisfied with the status quo anymore. If we're going to be authentic Catholics who are evangelized by our lives, we also have to be peacemakers. In a world where there is not a lot of peace, we have to be peacemakers. One of my good buddies, Father Diascanus, he came and gave a talk last week for our young adults. And it was a great talk, very practical talk on being a peacemaker. And I have to confess that immediately after his talk, I had to go to confession. Because you know what? I got to fight in my own soul, in my own heart, the things that prevent me from being a peacemaker. And his main point was, we can't be bitter about politics, and we can't bemoan the lack of peace in the world if we're not dealing with the lack of peace in our own soul. That peace starts with me. And until we get that right, what right do we have to point our fingers to the world? I thought, man, Father, can you hear my confession? So we got to be peacemakers who deal with our own anger, who are dealing with our own angst, who are dealing with our own impatience. And Father gave some great examples. He's like, you know, look, if you don't think you have an anger problem and someone cuts you off in traffic and you flip them the bird, you've got an anger problem, you know? If you come home and for no good reason just start always yelling at your spouse, you know, there's something in there that needs to be dealt with. If you're one of those people, and I confess, a lot of times I'm one of these people who's impatient because we've got our stuff that we've got to get done, and someone interrupts that and it's like, ugh. You've got to work on that. I got to work on that. So peace starts with me. If we're going to be authentic disciples, evangelizers, we've got to strive to be clean of heart, pure of heart. This is a big one. All throughout Scripture, it talks about pure of heart and vision. If I'm pure of heart, I'm able to see God with the eyes of my soul and know God and hear God. Impurity is like cataracts. It clouds us from the ability to see God and hear God. And so we have to fight against a world that says impurity is okay. In fact, it's desired. And the media are such hypocrites, right? They give us nothing but impurity. And then when someone falls, what do? We crucify them. It's so funny how the world works. That's the devil in a microcosm. Do it, do it. But when you do it, you're crucified. That's the devil. We've got to fight against this impurity. We've got to be able to look at each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, as made in the image and likeness of God, not as objects, not as anything less than human. And we have to resist and turn off anything that prevents that, whether it's the TV. And you know what? Stupid sitcoms, which have all this innuendo, they're just as bad as anything else. We got to fight against it, turn it off. We got to make sure that our internet is not being used to bring impurity into our hearts and our souls. We got to make sure that the movies we're going to see are going to lead us to heaven and not cloud our vision to see God. If we're going to be authentic Catholics who live the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring others to Him, we cannot bring people to a God that we do not know and we do not see. We've got to be pure of heart. To live out the Beatitudes is to put God first. It's to live a life of blessedness even now. It's to live a life of heaven even now. It's to put everything that we have and everything that we are at His disposal to help as many souls as we can know Him, know His love, and be with Him forever in heaven. That's what our parish has to be about. That's what our school has to be about. That's what our religious ed program has to be about. It's what our families must be about. When we die, our Lord will not ask us, how many goals did you score in your soccer career? My answer is goose egg. What was your free throw percentage in high school? I didn't play in college, so couldn't have been good. How much money did you make? He won't ask how many high schools and colleges accepted you into their programs. He won't ask you how many compliments you received on your homilies. When we die, God is going to ask us, how well did you strive to live out the Beatitudes? How many souls did you win for my kingdom using whatever gifts I gave you? Brother André Bessette did not have many gifts, according to the world standards. Everyone here, including myself, has more. But he used everything he had to bring thousands to Christ, maybe millions to Christ. How are we using what God has given us? How are we using our intelligence? How are we using our skills, our personality, our money, our house, our relationships? How are we using what God has given us? I think one great way to answer this question very objectively, because we live in a world where we've got to be objective, is we ask ourselves this question and answer it honestly. Using what God has given me, how many people have I brought to Christ? If the answer is a lot, then keep on keeping on. If the answer is not many or none, then we got to get on track right now. And here's what I recommend. And Father Jim did not pay me to do this or to say this. But I really do recommend that we take that vision statement, which we've been preaching for the last 4 weeks, and you bring it to prayer. Our vision statement says, St. John the Evangelist is a vibrant Catholic community that brings people to Christ, forms disciples, and sends them forth to transform the world. And every member of this community faithfully commits to worship God, to serving others, to forming friendships, to maturing in our faith, to growing in holiness, to sharing one's gifts, and to proclaim the gospel. Take this to prayer and ask yourselves, what am I doing well? Keep on doing it. What am I not doing so well? Those are the areas that we concentrate on. Just take one and focus on that one. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. If we live out this vision statement, really, really live it out, we're on the path to heaven. St. André Bessette showed us the way. He showed us how to use our talents to win souls for heaven, to become a great saint. He evangelized by living out the Beatitudes, not by drawing attention to himself. And now we have to do the same in Severna Park at St. John's. Our salvation and the salvation of dozens and dozens of souls depends on our yes, on whether or not we are going to take seriously the charge by God to become disciples who joyfully live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.